It's Friday night. What places are you heading to for post-work happy hour? Tell us. This podcast is making a best of the best list and needs recommendation for happy hour menus at restaurants in KC. Text us at 816-601-4777. That's 816-601-4777. Standard texting rates apply.
From KCUR, this is Up to Date with Steve Kraske. I'm senior producer Zach Wilson. For all of you Chiefs fans out there, the first day of the NFL draft has finally arrived. The Kansas City Chiefs have won back-to-back titles and three in the last 5 years. Now the team is focused on trying to put together the first three-peat in the NFL since the Green Bay Packers did it back in the 1960s. As the Chiefs have 7 picks this weekend to choose players who will help contribute to the 2024 team, we're checking in with KCUR sports contributor Greg Eklund to preview the draft. Here's Steve's conversation with Greg.
First, before we get into what the Chiefs might do in this draft, who are the biggest players the Chiefs had last year that won't be back in 2024?
Well, of the Super Bowl starters, there are 5 who won't be back this season. The most notable is Legarius Sneed, who was traded this offseason to Tennessee for a third-round pick in the 25 draft, and then the teams swapped seventh-round picks this year. Now, you might think seventh round, that seems like a long way back, but keep in mind that the Chiefs drafted Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round, and they also drafted Nick Allegretti, who was a Super Bowl starter, filling in on the offensive line because of an injury. So those second-round picks have proved to be significant for the Chiefs.
Huh. Wide receiver Rashee Rice has obviously been dealing with off-the-field issues as he was involved in that hit-and-run crash down in Dallas last month during a street racing incident. So what's the latest on that front involving him, because he was such an important player last year?
No doubt. That was his rookie year last year, and he was a draft pick from the 2023 draft.
Right.
And he really came on at the end of the season. The Chiefs say that they're going to wait until the legal process plays itself out. The NFL might not wait that long. The NFL has a history of making a ruling on a player if that player, for some reason, brings bad light to the league. And with what is publicly known so far in this case from the incident in the Dallas area, it doesn't appear that even if the legal case is settled, the NFL is going to sit back.
So what might an NFL suspension from the league look like, Greg?
You know, I'd be surprised, Steve, because of the nature of this, that it would be anything less than a 4-game suspension, which is a significant amount. And that obviously puts the onus on the Chiefs to look at the wide receiver position for this year's draft.
Do we have any previous cases that we can compare, you know, Rashee Rice's to, Greg?
Well, the one that that comes to mind, it wasn't really a road incident, but one of the other players who will not be returning for the Chiefs this season is Willie Gay. And I recall a domestic situation in Kansas City involving a vacuum cleaner, and I think those charges were dismissed. Yet Willie Gay still had a suspension imposed by the NFL.
So is Rashee Rice, is he going to remain a Chief in your opinion, Greg?
Oh, I think so. Keep in mind what the Chiefs did a few years ago with the Kareem Hunt incident. There was a videotape with Kareem Hunt and a woman at that time, and the Chiefs acted quickly. They cut him. The Cleveland Browns ended up signing him. The Chiefs got nothing in return. I think with what Rashee Rice did at the end of the season last year and the future that he has, I don't think the Chiefs are just going to cut him loose without getting anything in return.
Okay, well, let's go to the draft. Again, the first round is tonight. A lot of people will be paying a lot of attention to it. Let's get into this a little bit. On offense, what are the positions the Chiefs need to address most here, Greg?
Well, I think on the offensive line, because that is a question mark. You had Wanye Morris playing at left tackle, again, because of an injury situation. He's a player that the Chiefs are developing themselves. Whether he can be considered a starter at this point is questionable. So I think the Chiefs will be looking to fortify that position on the offensive line. Donovan Smith, who's played on the offensive line for the Chiefs last year, is still a free agent. So they still could re-sign him in addition to whomever they draft. The other position is obviously what we had talked about before, the wide receiver group, where Hollywood Brown was signed as a free agent in the offseason by the Chiefs. He previously played for Baltimore and Arizona, but I think the Chiefs feel that there's enough of a wide receiver core available in the draft that by the time the Chiefs pick with the 32nd pick of the first round, that there still could be a good one available at that point.
A lot of mock drafts have the Chiefs picking that left offensive tackle, Greg, that you're talking about here.
Oh, yeah. It may not be a situation. Here's what they could do ideally, Steve, and it would be a great piece of Chiefs history. I don't think it's going to happen, but if you want to dream a little bit, recall that the Chiefs 40 years ago took a tackle out of Iowa named John Ault. Well, John Ault's son, Joe Ault, plays right for Notre Dame. He's a tackle, but he's considered a top 10 pick. So he'll be long gone by the Chiefs pick in the late first round or in the 32nd pick of the first round. But if the Chiefs somehow pull off a trade of some nature and move themselves up, I don't think it's a likely scenario, but it would be a dream scenario and one that would add to Chiefs history, especially since they drafted Ed Buddy in the 1963 draft and then later drafted his son Brad to become the first team in NFL history to draft a father and a son in the first round.
Well, I was going to ask you about this because the Chiefs general manager, Brett Veach, is known for trading up in these drafts. He's done it any number of times. You know, and he's talked about that possibility. He's been asked about it ad nauseum in recent weeks. What are your expectations heading into tonight?
My expectations that they probably won't do it, but I don't rule out the possibility that they may move up three or four spots late in the first round. That's how they got Trent McDuffie, and he turned out to be an outstanding cornerback for the Chiefs. So, like I say, ideally, it would be great, but I don't expect it to happen.
We'll be right back with more from Steve's conversation with KCUR sports contributor Greg Eklund in just a minute.
You listen to this podcast every day because it's your KC local reliable news source. You take us seriously. But you know, we like to get down and we want you to party with us. Join us at our annual benefit Radioactive on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumping. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.
Anyone who followed the team last year know that the wide receivers were not up to par as they led the league in drop passes. How much help do they need on that front, in your view?
Well, you mentioned with the drop passes, one of those responsible that was Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Again, another player who will not be returning for the Chiefs this year. He was expected to be on the third year of a three-year contract that the Chiefs signed him as a free agent. But he was inconsistent for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs ended up cutting him for salary cap reasons. That's why with the wide receiver depth at this draft and the cutting of Valdez-Scantling, I expect the Chiefs to go heavily or at least look heavily at that wide receiver class here early in the draft.
What about on defense, Greg? What do you see as the team's biggest need on that side of the ball?
I think, they in the offseason re-signed Drew Tranquil, who was a great addition for the Chiefs last year, and he'll be back for the Chiefs this year. But I think they would like to probably get a little more depth at the linebacker position, in addition to at cornerback since they traded Legarius Sneed. You have McDuffie as the starter on one side, but two guys that they've been developing on the other side within their system. I think they would probably like a little more depth there. But consider that what the Chiefs have done in the past they let Charvarius Ward walk to the San Francisco 49ers, and they didn't drop off that much with their cornerback depth. I think perhaps with the development of those that they already have and with what they might add to the draft, I think they'd be addressing the corner position as well.
You know, what's interesting to me as you watch these things unfold, and I'm hardly any NFL expert, but the fact that the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback and don't need to worry about that position, that premium position, gives the team such a huge leg up, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. And then when you think about the possible first-round picks of quarterbacks, that allows other position players to be possibly available late in the first round when the Chiefs pick at 32. You're talking about the possibility of maybe six quarterbacks going in the first round of the draft. So think about the number of position players. If you take six quarterbacks in the early rounds, that might be available for the Chiefs to pick up late in the first round.
You know, what goes into making decisions about who to draft? Because this has become such a big deal and so much attention is focused on it, Greg. I mean, does the team, they meet with players ahead of time, right? I know there's this NFL combine where the league tests the physical skills of new players. What else goes into making these picks?
Right. You know, they know the physical aspects from the combine, and they do meet with some of the players at the combine, but they have a limit of like 15 minutes. And that's hardly a chance for the Chiefs to get to know a player. So they do bring in players ahead of time and get to know them more in depth as people. Brett Veach has been on record saying that that's extremely helpful for the Chiefs because not only already do they know their physical skills, they get to know that player as a person and perhaps address maybe some questionable history that that player has. So when they do their homework on a player by the in-person visits before the draft, that's a big factor for the Chiefs on whether they take that individual or not.
Who have they brought in this time around, Greg?
I haven't heard specifically on who they have brought in this time around, but sometimes the teams will do that as a decoy, maybe to signal to other teams that, hey, we got this guy in for the first round. Maybe you ought to think about taking him too.
Well, how do you feel as we talk today about the Chiefs' prospects for three-peating next year? I mean, Tom Brady never did it. Joe Montana never did it. It just isn't something that happens with any regularity in this sport. How do you see it?
I don't. Considering what we've seen over the last 7 years or so, I can't count against the possibility of Patrick Mahomes accomplishing that. When you have Patrick Mahomes, who is a one-of-a-kind type of quarterback, you can't discount the possibility of him leading to the Chiefs to a possible three-peat. So with the skilled players that they'll have around him and a defense that stepped up last year considerably, you can't rule it out.
I still can't get over what they accomplished this year, having to go play in Buffalo, having to go play in Baltimore to get to the Super Bowl, and they pulled it off. Just a remarkable feat.
Yeah, no doubt. And then with the wide receiver core that you had mentioned before that led the league and dropped passes, he didn't have the weapons around him that he would have had in previous years, yet they still pulled that off.
Hey, before I let you go, I wanted to ask about Travis Kelce. I mean, he's turning 35 during this next season. Is he nearing the close of his career?
Well, I mean, he has shown from his productivity that he's not. I think he's probably driven as much as anybody for this possible three-peat since it's a chance to make history in the NFL. And depending on how he comes through this year, you know, maybe beyond this year, he might have some retirement consideration. But I think he's driven as much as the other guys to get things in the right direction and try for history in the NFL this year.
Andy Reid just signed that contract extension, making him the highest paid coach in the league. His extension runs through 2029. So there goes those retirement rumors, right?
Absolutely. And I think when he has a quarterback, I mean, every coach dreams of having a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. And when you have somebody who operates the offense in an offensive-minded coach's eyes, you have a chance to really thrive as a head coach. And I think Andy Reid still enjoys coming to work every day.
That was Steve's conversation with KCUR sports contributor Greg Eklund. Up to Date is a production of KCUR, and this podcast was produced by me, Zach Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.